Chapter 8. Independence. In 1929, the British sent an all-white committee to India to see if the country was ready for home rule or self-government under the British. We decided to boycott the committee, and we began to write our own constitution. If the British didn't accept it by December, we would declare our independence. At midnight, on the 31st of December, we declared our independence and announced the beginning of a non-violent resistance campaign. Our Congress party elected Jawaharlal Nehru, one of the party's most talented members, as president. I was very happy because I admired him very much. The first thing we did after we declared independence was to organize a celebration. On the 26th of January, in the towns and villages of India, hundreds of thousands of people agreed together. "It is a crime against man and God to accept British rule." I felt everybody was ready now for the fight ahead. Our first act of non-violent resistance was to demonstrate against the salt tax. For many years, Indians could only buy salt from the British, and the British made us pay a very high tax for it. Unfortunately, this tax affected the poor people most. I decided to march 388 kilometers from my ashram to the Arabian Sea. There was plenty of free salt in the sea, enough for many poor people. The British laughed at me, but they didn't understand my people the way I did. On the 12th of March, I began the long walk to the sea. 78 friends walked with me. We walked on narrow roads from village to village. I was 61 years old at the time. People said, "It will be difficult for you to walk so far." But I was a good walker, and I stayed strong because the people supported me. In every village, people came out to meet us and shouted, "We are with you, Bapu." I cried from happiness most of the time, especially when people joined the march. Journalists from all over the world walked with us and wrote about our march. When we finally arrived at the sea on the 5th of April, there were several thousand of us. The next morning, I went to the sea and picked up some salt. Everybody with me did the same thing. But according to the British, we were committing a crime because we took the salt directly from the sea. In May, I was sent to prison again. A year later, a new British representative, Lord Irwin, arrived in India. He wanted to stop the demonstrations, so he freed me and invited me to meet with him. We talked several times, and in the end we signed an agreement. We agreed to stop the resistance if the British gave us home rule. Then I travelled to England to a special conference to discuss it, but nothing was agreed upon there. While I was there, I met many interesting people. Every morning I went for a walk and talked with the children in the streets. I explained why I chose to stay in the poor part of the city and why I was wearing my strange clothes in England. They began to call me Uncle Gandhi. One father complained to me, "My little daughter comes to me every morning, hits me and wakes me up. She says, 'Now don't hit back, violence is not the way.' Gandhi says that all the time." On my birthday, the 2nd of October, the children gave me 2 toy dogs, 3 pink birthday candles, a plate, a blue pencil, and some sweets. I was very pleased and took all the gifts home with me to India. Another very nice surprise was the welcome from the people of the cotton industry of Lancashire in the north of England. Many people there lost their jobs in this industry because the Indians didn't buy British clothes anymore. I explained why we were doing this. This is part of a bigger fight to free my people so they can live better. Most of them understood in the end.